This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. Pastor Brian de Villiers, as we're going to study the Word of God together this morning. Last week we spoke about the ministry of encouragement. Let's encourage each other. Today I want to speak to you about the who of encouragement. The who of encouragement. I want to read from John's Gospel, chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 16 to 18, and this is what it says. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. And then I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. And then we go to chapter 15, and I want to read verse 26, and this is what it says in chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, I shall send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify of me. There we've got it. Now, let's go back to chapter 14 that we began with, and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Paul emphatically says in Romans 15, verse 5, God gives encouragement. In 1 Peter 5, 7, he says, casting all your cares upon him. God cares in all types of situations. He is the God of encouragement. His nature is fully revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, who also had a ministry of encouragement. And when Christ left the earth, he left his ministry of encouragement in the care of the Holy Spirit. Now, for believers, the Holy Spirit is the who of the ministry of encouragement. You got that? For believers, the Holy Spirit is the who of the ministry of encouragement. How does the Holy Spirit encourage us? And that's what we want to look at. How does he encourage us? Number one, the Holy Spirit encourages us through his person. Let's read again these verses from 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. So there's a number of things we need to get clear here this morning. The Holy Spirit is a person, though some prefer to use the pronoun it as though he were a thing. The word translated spirit in the Greek is the word pneuma. It is neither male nor female, but the personal pronoun he is always used to refer to the Holy Spirit. And you want to get that clear. He is always referred to the Holy Spirit. B, the Holy Spirit acts as a person. He does things a person does. He dwells, he guides, he speaks and teaches. He witnesses, he hears, he knows, he works, he loves and glorifies and gives. All of these are personal acts. The Holy Spirit reacts as a person. He can be grieved, blasphemed, sinned against, and people react to him as a person. He may be received, resisted, insulted, glorified, and quenched. Although the King James Version translates pneuma by the word ghost, that word today is not appropriate for an accurate translation of the Greek word. The word ghost refers to the returning spirit of a dead person. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit encourages us in his presence. John 14 and verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." He will abide with you forever. That's the promise of the Word of God. The presence of Jesus was powerful, stabilizing, and encouraging. Jesus stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. When their hearts were fearful, Jesus came and he stilled the storm and he said, "Peace, be still." In John 6, 16 to 21, the disciples were frightened and Jesus came walking on the sea, speaking words of encouragement. What were his words of encouragement? "Do not be afraid." Whenever we receive the word "do not fear" or "be not afraid," there are powerful words of encouragement. The Bible says to us, "Do not fear." And we need to hear that. Do not fear. Do you know there's 366 fear nots? One for every day of the year, including leap year. Fear not. That's what the Bible says to us. Fear not. So many people are gripped by fear this morning. So many people are fearing what will take place today, what will take place tomorrow. But we are told, "Be not afraid." There are powerful words of encouragement. In John 21, the disciples fished all night. They caught absolutely nothing. And when Jesus came, they made a great catch. His presence encouraged them greatly. Now we experience the presence and encouragement of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to hear that this morning. Be encouraged. He dwells within us. His presence is with us. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of us. John 14 is important for the understanding of the Holy Spirit. The New American Standard Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. The King James Version calls him the Comforter. He's also called the Spirit of Truth. John 16, 13, he's the Spirit of Truth. Each word in these verses is important in understanding the Holy Spirit. The personal pronoun, "I," is emphatic. "I myself will ask the Father, I." He prayed that the Father answered his prayer and sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In verse 17, "world" refers to those who disregard God, to the world that disregards God. They cannot receive the Holy Spirit. They do not know him by experience, nor do they see him. But the disciples knew him from the moment they first believed in Jesus Christ. We as believers today know him. He dwells with us and he's in. If you've believed in Jesus, that's the new covenant. Believe and love. And if you've believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of us. We do not have to pray for him to come. He's already come. We already have the Spirit. We just need to surrender control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for "another" in verse 16 means "another of the same kind." Got that? Another of the same kind. So the Holy Spirit is another just like Jesus. And the word "comforter" is the Greek word "paraklete," which means one being called to one's side, to one's aid. It describes a lawyer who is called to stand with a client in a court, especially a defense lawyer. It is a word used in the court of justice to denote a counsel for the defense, an advocate. We have one who is our advocate. We have one who is our defense lawyer. That is the Holy Spirit. We need to get that very clear. We have two advocates, the Holy Spirit. And I want to read that again this morning from Romans, because Romans makes that so clear to us. If we read here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? When I don't know really how to pray in a situation or for somebody, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and the Holy Spirit is praying. He's making intercession for us. That's what it tells us. The Holy Spirit himself is come to make intercession. So we've got two advocates. We've got the Holy Spirit and we've got Jesus Christ. He is with us. And it tells us in verse 34, who is he that condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, furthermore, also is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us. There you've got it. It says Jesus is making intercession. He's standing before the Father. He's making intercession for us. Christ intercedes in heaven before God, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, sometimes with groanings too deep for words, according to the will of God. Sometimes I want to tell you, friend, when you're praying and you're praying for a loved one who's ill, you're praying for a child who's become wayward, God even hears the sighs of your heart. God hears the groans of your heart. You need to understand that this morning. God hears you because he hears the groans within you. Our response to the intercession is vital. We cannot hinder or help Christ's intercession for us because his intercession continues without ceasing. We cannot facilitate or frustrate the Holy Spirit's intercession in us by our cooperation or resistance. We are the object of Christ's praying. We are the subject of the Holy Spirit's praying, so that he can pray through us. He prays for us to enable us to pray. Isn't that wonderful this morning? To know that he's praying, he's on the inside, and he's praying for us. He's helping us as we pray. We don't know how to pray, but he helps us. And the Holy Spirit is an incredibly precious gift. All that Jesus had been to his followers during his earthly ministry, the Holy Spirit has been since and will continue to be in the future. Jesus walked alongside his disciples. Remember on the way to Emmaus, Jesus walked alongside his disciples. He opened to them the scriptures. They didn't even know it was Jesus, but he walked alongside his disciples. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. You've got that this morning? Jesus spoke to them through their ears. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in our hearts this morning. Jesus' followers could not always be with him, but we are never away from the presence of the indwelling Spirit of God. Are you aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life this morning? The Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. You have God's presence now on the inside of you. We don't have to beg for it. He lives on the inside of us. And we need to understand that very clearly this morning. The Holy Spirit's helping us. Jesus is interceding for us with the Father. Number three, the Holy Spirit encourages us in our praying. I've read it already from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8 is the chapter about the Holy Spirit and His work. One way He encourages us is that He helps us to pray, even when you don't know how to pray. You say it's quite difficult to pray. Yes, I know it is sometimes. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He's inside of you. He will pray for with you. The key word in this verse is helps. This is the verb in the Greek language that expresses the idea of facing someone who has a burden too heavy to lift alone. Taking hold of it with the person, lifting it together. The word is used only one other time in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Martha, speaking of her sister, said to Jesus, "Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me carry the burden. Or tell her to get under part of the load. Tell her to help get under the part of the load." Can I say to you this morning, are you burdened about something right now today? Is it hard to pray about? This is how the Holy Spirit helps our praying. We are on the one side of the burden, and He says, "I will get the other side for you. Let me stand facing one another. Each take hold of it, and together we lift your burden, our burden, up to the Father." Have you ever lifted a load and groaned under it? Well, the Holy Spirit does our groaning for us, and the Holy Spirit helps us and even helps us with our groans. Notice another thing, our weaknesses. Paul is not just referring to weaker Christians. No, he's not talking about that. Or to Christians young in the faith, or to the spiritually immature. He's including himself. The point is, all of us are weak. Let's be real. All of us are weak. We are always will be. We are weak so that we may depend upon the Holy Spirit. When I'm weak, then I'm strong because it's the Holy Spirit I'm depending upon. We are not to rest in our weakness instead of striving in it. To rest in faith, to strive, is works. One is of the Spirit, the other is of the flesh. The weakness, therefore, leads us to depend upon, you got that? Depend upon the Holy Spirit. He helps our weaknesses as we cooperate with Him so we can do for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. I find that wonderful. I find that this morning so encouraging. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses as we cooperate with Him so He can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And then, number four, the Holy Spirit encourages us with peace. Let's read that again. Let's go back to John. John's Gospel, and I want to go back there to verse 14, chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 26 and 27. "But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you." Verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace, shalom, I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How wonderful. Don't be afraid. Jesus promised the gift of peace, and He gives the peace of the Holy Spirit. His peace is not the absence of trouble. Let me say that clearly. It's not the absence of trouble. It's an attitude of a calm heart and mind in the midst of the trouble. Two artists portrayed their concept of peace. One painted a scene of a sunny meadow beside a small lake. A tree with not a leaf stirring was located in the center of the meadow. There was not a ripple on the lake. Standing in the shade of the tree was a cow contentedly chewing her cud. The other painted a rugged mountain sea, and the scene was black clouds split with lightning heralding an approaching storm. The trees were bent before the wind, and to the other side was a high waterfall that hit the rocks far below, and at the end of the waterfall lots of spray suggested the roar of water and the force with which it hit. It was a scene of wild turmoil. But on the edge behind the waterfall was a little bird, and its throat was bursting with song. Do you get that? Its throat was bursting with song. The Holy Spirit encourages us with that kind of peace. Whatever your storm is today, whatever you're facing today, whatever the climate of your circumstances are today, the Holy Spirit is eager to give you peace if you will let the Holy Spirit give you peace in your life. We need a fresh awareness, my friends, of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches. The Holy Spirit encourages us in the Christian life. Isn't that wonderful to know? The Holy Spirit comes alongside, and the Holy Spirit who dwells inside encourages us in the Christian life. And we can appropriate His encouragement as we acknowledge God's word and apply it to our lives, and we live in the good of it. And when you live in the good of the word of God, then we are encouraged. And I want to say to all those listening this morning, be encouraged today by the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your weakness. Ask Him today. And then be encouraged yourself to know that you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes to encourage you and I this morning. I want to pray for you today. I pray that you'll know this peace of God that passes human understanding. But can I also make it clear today that if you don't know Jesus, you can't have this peace. You can only have this peace that passes human understanding by coming to God through Jesus Christ. And then the peace of God will flood your life. But you have to ask Jesus. You might be filling your life at the moment with many other things, but you're not peaceful at all. In fact, you're in turmoil this morning. Won't you surrender your life to Jesus? Won't you say yes to Christ this morning, that the peace of God can rule and reign in your life today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that the Holy Spirit comes to encourage us. The Holy Spirit comes to bring peace into our hearts, into our minds. Even when we're going through the storms and the uncertainties of life, when we're going through difficult times, the Holy Spirit comes to bring us your peace that passes human understanding. But we realize this morning we can't have this peace without Jesus, because Jesus brings us peace. He is our peace. That's what the Bible says. So I pray this morning, if there's someone listening to me this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you know that He's speaking to you this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, you're the divine Son of God. I believe that you are. I believe in my heart, and I open my life to you. I ask you to come into my life, to be the Savior of my life, to help me as I live for you day by day under the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to love you and I want to serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you become a child of God. Let us know at Radio K Pulpit. Phone in to 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. You can phone me, Pastor Brian, from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 o'clock and 12 noon. 021-552-4096. 021-552-4096. We'll be glad to help you. Let us know if you accepted the Lord Jesus today. And I pray the Holy Spirit's going to encourage you today in everything that you do, as He leads and He guides in your life. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.